Morning. The pasuk in the parasha of Eidim Zayimim has a very interesting language. Ki yia riv bein anoshim nigshuel hamishpat u'shvatum v'tziku es ha-tzadik v'yirshu es ha-rasha. So I heard over a very nice pshat b'shem Rav Chaim Zimmerman. And what does it mean v'tziku es ha-tzadik v'yirshu es ha-rasha? So he says that dinei Torah have a very polarizing effect. When a tzaddik comes to a din Torah, so he comes to the din Torah, comes to the Beis Din, he says exactly what happened. If he wins the din Torah, good. If he loses, he goes ahead and he pays. So he came a tzaddik, he came in a tzaddik, and he walked out a bigger tzaddik. Mashenkin or Rasha, when he comes to a din Torah, he finds the biggest thug that he can to be his tayin. He comes in, he comes up with stories and positions and who knows what. And then when he gets to Psak, he doesn't listen. So that's what it means. When he comes to the entire v'yitztiku es ha-tzadik, if there's a tzadik and goes to the entire, he ends up being a bigger tzadik, v'yirshiyu es ha-rasha. Person who came in a rasha usually walks out a bigger rasha. Now today we're going to start the discussing the inyan of Chalukas HaShotvim. As we mentioned a number of times before, in all of Hilchos Shotvim, this is the part that is most negeya. And the one this is probably the most important to know, and that is how to divide a partnership. There are really two questions we're going to have to deal with. The first question which we'll deal with today is, when does a partner have the right to pull out? They started the partnership, one of them has cold feet, he decided he had enough, he wants to move on, go elsewhere. When does he have the right to say, I had enough, I want to dissolve the partnership? The second question of how to dissolve the partnership, how to split it, what the rights are, that we'll, Mirtz Hashem, discuss next week. Now, to bring out the questions, I'm going to start off with two very simple cases. And today, unfortunately, these are very common. Case number one. There was a younger man in yeshiva who needed a parnasa. So he decided he's going to dabble in real estate. He found a property that looked like a very good deal, and he approached his shver, who had a couple of dollars, and they made up. The Eidim was going to do the work, he was going to do the due diligence, buy the property, he was going to manage the property. His shver is going to put down the money, and they'll split the profits 50-50. Now, naturally, no one ever thought about the fact that perhaps there wouldn't be profits, and there was absolutely no discussion about losses. They started the deal, and in the beginning it seemed to be a wonderful deal, it was working out nicely. Then the real estate market crashed. So what happened? Basically, the son-in-law is sitting there. He's managing the property. He's busy with it all week. And he realized that what's he getting paid? His payment is getting half the profits. Half of zero is zero. So he's realized it's not worth my while. And he decided, I had enough. I want to walk away. What's the din? Does he have the right to walk away and leave his dear father-in-law holding the bag? Or not? Case number two, which is the exact opposite case, but also today fairly common. A developer had his business model was he used to buy large tracts of property and subdivide and build the houses. Now he had an arrangement with a money man who finances projects. The financier put in the money. The builder took the property, he developed it, he got it zoned, subdivided, built the houses, they split the profits 50-50. A couple years ago, when the real estate market was booming, they found a nice large, big piece of property. It was pricey, but no problem. The money man coughs up the cash. They buy the property, and they're sitting on it. Now, time goes on. And today, they see that it's going to take a very long time for them to actually develop it. And the money man is getting impatient. He is either paying interest on the money, or he wants to deploy his capital elsewhere. So he wants to pull out. The builder, on the other hand, says nothing doing. He's very happy the way it is. He didn't pay any money for this project, so he figures let's ride out the market, and if and when the market goes up, at that point I'll have a big project to sell. I'll make a lot of money. He has no reason to want to sell. And therefore, he tells his partner, nothing doing. You can't, until we sell these houses, you have no right to pull out. What is the halacha? Now, in all these cases, obviously, if there's an operating agreement, if you made an arrangement beforehand, we're going to follow the operating agreement. And as we've said many times, if there's one thing to get out of Hilchos Shutfim, it is write a clear operating agreement. Otherwise, again, we're going to see the halachas are complicated. Sometimes it will work for you, sometimes it won't. So it's kedai, before you go into it, spend a few dollars on a lawyer, get something clearly, you know, clearly spell out the conditions beforehand. But if there is no operating agreement, so we're going to discuss today what the default halacha is. Now, the halachas over here depend on a few lines, a few very simple lines of the Gemara above Metzia that we learned today. Gemara daf kofei amar Rava. Hani beitrei de avdi iska bahadi hadadi. Two people that did a business deal together, they accepted an iska. V'ravach. And they made profits. V'amr leichad l'chavre. One said to his friend, Talifleg, we did great. Let's stop while we're ahead. Let's dissolve the partnership. So the halacha is, if the other person agrees, wonderful. If the parties agree, they can do what they want. But if the other party says, no, we're doing great, let's double our bet, let's keep on going. The halacha is, you can stop the part, you cannot force the partnership to dissolve. The amrle havli pago de ravcha, let's say the person says, okay, we're in this together, we're fine, let's continue the partnership. But at least, let's pull out the profits. So halacha is, nothing doing. Amar lei ravcha l'karno mishtabed. The profits are mishubed for the keren. It's true we made profits. But if we take out, if we make a distribution, and everyone takes out the profits, what happens if tomorrow there's a loss? We're not going to have any way to cover the loss. So the halacha is, a partner does not have the right to pull out any profits, to make any distributions until the end of the partnership. And unless both parties agree, the money is going to be stuck in. Now obviously this is a very important point. Very often when there is a partnership, there's usually one person who has the money, the other person who's doing the work. So the person with the money would rather that the profits stay in the business. That way he knows he won't have to pull out any more money out of his pocket. He wants a cushion. The other person, this is his parnasa, he wants to pull out the profits, he needs it to live. So the halacha is, unless there's something clear in the operating agreement, the profits stay in the business until the end. So again, another very important reason to write an operating agreement. Now the Pamanya Zov says, today the minog is not like this. He says, today the minhag is we do not leave profits in a business, you know, until the end of the term. It's normal to take out. It's normal to take it out, either monthly or quarterly, whatever it is. Now, if that's the minhag, that's the minhag. But if there's ever a question, you know, if some people leave more of a cushion in, some people leave less, because the default halacha is the profits stay in the business, you're only going to be able to pull out when there's a clear minhag that you have the right to pull out that money. Anything else is going to have to stay in the business until the end. Excellent. Good? Fine? Excellent. We'll get to that. Obviously, that's the, you know, when does it end? Excuse me? Pamoy Nezahov. Now again, he didn't live in the United States. Obviously, each, you know, it's a kolfi on Mokum Vazman. But even back then, it's been a minhag which is around for a while, not to keep the profits there indefinitely. Now this case, the Gemara is talking about in Iska. The sugya actually started on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, which you didn't have in front of you today. But this sugya happens to be the makar where today's heter iskos are loosely based on this Gemara. The case is one person put in the money, the other person does the work, and this is a Gemara that talks about how to make this arrangement. So based on this, it's the Gemara seems to be saying, you're locked in, you can never pull out of a deal. Taisus makes an interesting point. What was the Gemara's case? Gemara had a very unusual case. Gemara's case was Hani Beitrei de Avdi Iska Bahadadi. Two people that accepted, that did an iska together. What does it mean two people did an iska together? So Tosis and the Rishonim all point out, it means, or the way Rashi says, Shnei kablonim shekiblu iska mibal habayis b'shotvis. There were two managers, and they together accepted money from an investor. So there are three parties. There's an investor, two people, b'shotvis, accepted his money and went ahead and did this business. And I'm there, the Gemara is saying, until the end of the term, you're locked in, you can't pull out your capital. Frank Tysis, what's going on? This is a very unusual case. There's one investor and two managers. Why don't we talk about a very simple case? One investor and one makaba, one manager. Why do we need a case where there are three people involved? Let's have a simple case of an iska. I gave someone money, the iska, he took it, he invested it. So now we have a shayla of if one of us wants to back out. Why do we need this case where there are three parties involved? Zog Taisvis, an important yesod. Zog Taisvis, v'yeshleim l'fisham makaba yochel lachzor koydem hazman. Zog Taisvis, if there are only two people involved, if there's a money man and the person who's doing the work. So here, the person who's doing the work is a poyel. He's working for the investor. Now, what's the halacha, for everyone, for a little chazar and hilchas sfiras poyelim, what's the halacha if you hire a worker, you hire him for a year, you sign a contract, and after half a year he decides he wants to move on. He gets a better job offer somewhere else. What's the halacha? The halacha is, poyel yochel lachzor bo afilu b'chatzi hayom. A worker can always quit his job. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem. A worker is never, he's not a slave. You cannot force a worker to stay at his position. Zog Taisus. With a Gemara over here that says that you're locked in is talking about only with, is talking about when there are three people. Because if there were two people, if there's one investor and the other person's doing the person doing the work can resign. He's a pile, he's a hired hand. And Kiliv and Yisrael Avadim will apply. He can walk away whenever he'd like. Now it comes out, a little bit of an interesting halacha. If the investor wants to back out, he can't. The investor gave the managing member the money. So when you lend someone money, if you lend him for a term, you lend him for a year, you lend him until the project is over, you can't pull your loan. You gave it to him for his mind, you're bound to that. On the other hand, the person who received the money, he's a worker. A worker, he will have the right to resign whenever he wants and give back the money. Now, based on this, by every case of an iska, if you give someone money and you're going to split the profits, the default is you split the losses as well. So if there is a hefsid, they'll have to share the hefsid. But you can't force him to continue working. Now, just like in Sfiras Poyelim, we mentioned that there's an exception. That although when you hire a worker, he has the right to quit whenever he wants. We mentioned that if your accountant gives you notice on April 14th that he decided he's not servicing you, that's a davar avur. You're not going to be able to file your returns. You're going to get hit with penalties and interest. So a davar avur, if you're going to cause a loss, you can force the person to continue working, soichalim and matzah, and whatever the remedies were. So we hear too as well. It's true that the makabo has the right to back out whenever he wants. And you can't force him to continue working, to continue managing this investment. But he has to give you appropriate notice. He has to give you enough time for you to find the replacements that you won't suffer a loss. So going back to that first case that we had with the Edom and the Shver, where the Edom was managing the property. Since the Edom was managing, was doing all the work, he was like a poyel. Halacha is a poyel yachol lachzor bo. He would have the right to stop. You cannot lock him in forever. Now, it's true if there's a loss. If they sell the property, they're forced to sell the property at a loss, the Edom is going to have to pay for half the loss. He's going to suffer. He's a shutif. But to force him to manage this property indefinitely, that you couldn't do. Now, because it's a davar avod, he probably has to give some notice. He has to give his father-in-law enough time to replace him to find someone else. But to lock him in forever, that you cannot do. Now, based on this, there's a whole discussion in the Pesach Tshuva brings down a number of Maror Mekoymos. What happens if you give someone, today's Heter Iska, you give someone money, you're a hard money lender, you're charging him 14% a year. He takes the money, and then after 2 weeks, he realizes this deal is not going anywhere. So he wants to give it back. He says, I had enough. I take back the money and I'll pay you 2 weeks interest and or 2 weeks revachim and that's it. So what's the halacha? So it seems, based on what we've just learned, you have the right to do that. Even if you say clearly in the contract you have no, you can't make any prepayment, the halacha is, when if you're managing, if you're a payel, you're the one who's doing all the work in this partnership, you're a payel. A payel can back out. So based on this, it would seem that the makabel iska, the person who's doing the work, the recipient, the borrower, has the right to give back the money, say, I had it for 2 weeks, take 2 weeks' worth of profits, and goodbye. I'm not keeping this any longer. However, the Shmos Yaakov comes and says a chiddush. He says, why is, in the case of the Gemara, you have a manager, the person who's doing the work, and the investor. Why is a manager allowed to back out? He's allowed to back out. He's a poyo. He's working. And a poyo yochola, kilib yisrael avadim, he's not a slave, he has the right to back out. Zagdash Shavuos Yaakov, that's in a normal case. We decide we're opening a store together. I give you the money, you're actually sitting there sitting in the store, you're doing the work. You're my poyo. You're my poyo, you're working for me, you have the right to back out regardless of what we made up. Zagdash Shavuos Yaakov, when a person takes money from a heter iska, what exactly is he doing for the investor? Is he working for him? Can the investor tell him, okay, you know, be at the store at this time? No. In normal, he takes the money. He does what he wants. Very often by an iska, it's not even clear exactly what investment the money is going to. And certainly he's not meshubed to do any particular job or any particular hours to the investor. Therefore, Zakhtar Shavuos Yaakov, today's heter iskas, where it's not set up as an employment contract, it's not set up where there's a specific job that he's doing for the investor. Shavuos Yaakov says this halacha will not apply, and he's locked in until the end of the term. Now, many achrayim argue. Many achrayim say that since the bottom line is by heter iska is based on the fact that you're investing the money, you're managing it, you're doing business on behalf of the investor, they say you are a payel. However, the Nesivos has a beautiful chap. He says like this: let's say you take money with an iska. So what does it say? It says you're borrowing $100,000 and it's going to pay back in a year from now $114,000. 2 weeks later, you decide you had enough. So you come and you argue that because you're a payel, because you're managing this iska, and halacha is a payel, a worker can always quit, you had enough, you want to quit. So I'm going to see if you're right. You have the right to quit. But when you quit, we now have to make a cheshbon of how much profits there were. So now, by every heter iska, when you take the money, you always have two choices. Really, there's a partnership. And if you make a shavua how much the profits were, we'll split those profits. If it was a lot, we'll split it. If it's a little, if there are no profits, you make a shavua. You don't pay any interest. You don't pay any profits. Yeah. But what do? On a heter iska, we tell you, we have another option. If you want to pay 14%, then I'm releasing you from the shavua. You don't have to prove what happened. You pay me the 14% and you keep everything else. So every time you have a heter iska, the makabel, the borrower, has two choices. Either he makes a shvur what the real profits were, and if he makes a shvur there were no profits, he does not pay any interest. Or he has the option of making this 14% payment and be off the hook. Zakhlin Nesivos, if you quit after 2 weeks, it's true, you have the right to quit. But when you quit, you now have to split whatever profits were earned during these 2 weeks. So if you're ready to take a Sefer Torah, and you're ready to make a shavua what the profits were, good, you'll split that. But if not, the investor can tell you, hey, I made up 14% for the year. You want to stop working? Good, but your choice is still the same. Either make a shavua or pay me the full 14%. I never said I'm going to accept, you know, a couple hundred dollars each week. I said, if you can either make a shavua or pay me $14,000 for the iska. So therefore, the Nesivos holds, it's true you can be chayzer. It's true you can stop working. But unless you're ready to make a shavua what the profits were, you're going to end up paying the full amount for the entire year. What will come out then is, it'll depend how exactly you wrote the iska. Because if you write in the iska that you're paying 1% a month, so even though you're right, the term is for a year, for 2 years, but then if after a month you want to back out, according to the Nesivos, either you can pay your 1% and say, I'm backing out, I'm a poyel, I can be chayzer. My shein kein, if you don't write 1% a month, you write 12% a year, Then, even after one day he wants to back out, he either has to make a shvuah of what happened, or he's going to have to pay the entire year's interest, the entire year's profit. The shvuah is how much profits were generated. Every time there's an iska, it's a partnership. The person who's accepting the money is investing it, is managing the money, and the profits are shared equally. So at the end of the term, he can either make a shvuah what the profits were, or that there were none, or he pays that set amount, that 12%, the 14% that they agreed on. So the Nesivus' point is, although you can stop working, that doesn't release you from either making a shvuah or from making that full payment, whatever that amount is supposed to be. If you don't make a shvuah, you have the right to pay 12%, and then even if you made more money, you keep it, and you don't have to make a shvuah. That's how every heter iska is structured. You have that choice. Either make a shvuah what happened, or pay the 12%. What? That's a complicated question. Every bezin will deal with it a bit differently. It's virtually unheard of for someone to actually offer to make the shvuah. Shvuahs are considered very chomer. People generally do not want to do it. If they're willing to do it, the bezin's either going to have to let them do it or work something out. But if he's ready to make a shvuah, you can't make him pay the full amount, because then the whole heter iska is meaningless. So this is as far as an iska is concerned. So according to Tosafos, it comes out that the recipient, the person who's the managing member, has the right to back out. The investor who gave the money is locked in until the end of the term. Zog Tosafos. That's why the Gemara that says that neither party can back out is talking about where there are three parties. Why is that different? So over here, the way most Rishonim learn is what happens if there are two partners, where both of them are doing the work. And it's before we were talking about one person invested the money, the other one does the work. So the other worker can back out. What happens if two partners get together, they're doing a business, they're both involved, and either one person put in money or both put in money, but they're both doing the work. Do they have the right to say in middle, you know what, I'm a payoch halas, but I want out? Zog Tosafos, no. The reason why a worker can back out is because ki b'nei Yisrael avadim, that a worker is not a slave. You can't force him to do labor. You can't force him to stay your worker. That's very nice when there's a boss and there's a worker. So as not to be like a slave, we'll give him an escape. We'll let him leave. Masha ain't can if you have two partners. You're both working for each other. So what are you going to say? I'm your eved? If each partner is the other one's eved, then each partner is the other one's other. And you can't be an eved and an other at the same time. So the way Tosafos learns is that when they're both doing work, this halacha of ki b'nei Yisrael avadim does not apply at all. And when they're both doing work, they're locked in, they have a responsibility to each other. So it'll come out a very interesting situation. When you have one investor and two payolim. So if both workers decide, we had enough, we don't like this investor, we want to end the deal, they have the right to do that. Ki b'nei Yisrael avadim, the workers are allowed to back out. On the other hand, if one of them doesn't like it, he wants to leave, and the other one wants to stay, then we say no. Since the two payolim are meshuga to each other, they're both working for each other, they both have responsibilities, they're sharing together, they took on the responsibility to run the job, so each of them is responsible to the other and is locked in. It's only when both of them want to back out, then it's a question of labor versus management. It's the workers against the boss. There, so as not to be an eved, they can back out. But if one shutif wants to stay and the other one wants to leave, there you can stop him from doing it, because here the concept of ki b'nei Yisrael avadim does not apply at all. So now, the next question that we have to deal with is, how long are they locked in for? The Gemara says that the Gemara just says straight out that the Gemara doesn't seem to give any limit. It says that they're locked in, and the prophets are meshubah to the Karen, and they seem to be locked in forever. Now, obviously, that can't be. It doesn't make sense to say that when you have two partners, they have to be partners oil and void. So the Rishonim speak out a few conditions or a few situations where you can dissolve a partnership. The simplest case is when you make a partnership and you make a set time. We're going to be partners for 3 years. In that case, The moment you start the partnership, the moment each of them puts in the capital, they are meshubit to each other, and they're locked in for the entire term. If anyone decides to change their mind in the middle, they have a better investment, they want to move on, the halacha is, they cannot pull out their capital, they're meshubit to each other. If they don't make a set time, so if you hear the Gemara in Gittin discusses a case where you're selling behemoths. It seems that when you're selling behemoths, there are certain seasons that it's sold for. That's normal to sell it. So over here, the halacha is, if you create a partnership for certain goods, and you don't make a set time, so you have to wait until it's the normal zman to sell these goods. If you're becoming partners in sukkahs, you're making sukkahs, so you have a whole shipment of schach, so you can't dissolve this partnership in middle of the winter. You'd have to wait until the season came, and then you would sell it together. Because that's the zman, that's the normal time to sell these goods, so you wait until then, and then you can sell it. Once the zman passes, once already you're hitting your Elul Tishrei, now already people are buying schach, at that point you have the right to say, I want to sell out all of our merchandise, and I want to dissolve the partnership. But you have to wait until the zman, until the normal time to sell the goods. Now based on this, a similar case is if you buy a property and the plan is you're buying this property, you're going to subdivide it and you're going to develop it and you're going to sell off the houses. So over here, your partnership is for a specific purpose. You want to subdivide and build the houses. So in that case, no one would be able to back out until they do what they set out, what they created the partnership for. The whole partnership was done because we want to get to a certain place. We want to put up these units. So until we finish this process, everyone is locked in. I can't pull out the capital after 2 months because I have a better deal somewhere else. Since it was for a specific tachlis, it was for a specific purpose, we have to wait until that purpose is accomplished. Now, that being said, very good. So the Chazanir says, and it's loosely based on a riff, that this is all true. If we decide we're going to develop a property, so if someone decides in the middle they want to move on to another project, they can't. However, if something changes, and now they realize it can't be done, or it can't be done profitably, then that purpose or that goal is impossible, and they would have the right to dissolve the partnership. Now, very often, it'll be somewhat of a subjective question. One of them says, let's wait it out a little bit. Maybe wait a little, maybe we'll try lobbying the zoning board again, we'll push it through. So that's obviously a subjective question. You'll have to go kederach ha-soichrim. But conceptually, if they set out for a specific plan, and now that plan will not work, there won't be any profits, that would be grounds to dissolve the partnership.
We're interpreting what their initial intention was, or something else.
Well, Hilchos Shutfim there are not many psukim about Hilchos Shutfim. So at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to what the rights of a partner is. When partners go together, there's a shibud. They have a kinyan. They have a lock. They have a schus on each other's assets, and that's why no one can pull it out. But it's probably based on the Das Bnei Adam, that since people do not intend to be locked into a money losing proposition, it's you can't lock them in forever. Again, lifelong, it's not really a lifelong shiva. If it's done for a specific purpose, then it's until the purpose is accomplished, or it becomes impossible to do it. If it's not for a specific purpose, you buy merchandise, you buy cameras, you buy anything. There the halacha is, as soon as you hit the normal season to sell these goods, either partner can say, I want to sell out. When it's off season, he can't do that. But once you hit the normal season where it's normal to sell, then any partner can pull the trigger and say, it's a normal time to sell, I want to sell it now. And more than that, the shibud is not more than that. You can only force them or lock them in to the extent there was a shibud. And so to say wait until the season, you can do. To say wait past the season, I think the price will go up more, that you have no right to do.
The money was given for a specific project, and it's going to end
end at the end of that project, then the Gemara's kind of big up today doesn't really apply anymore.
Correct.
Once you reach the break-even point and money's profits are coming in, why can't they take out the profit?
Correct. The Gemara's case was an open-ended business where they're just buying and selling, and it means where there was this man. There was a time they were going to do it for a year. So halacha is until the end of the year, no one can pull out a dime, because everything is meshubah to each other. You're locked in. You can't pull anything out before. You can't pull out beforehand. But if it's for a specific purpose, once you've accomplished the purpose, there's no reason to keep the money there.
No, but I'm saying even if you didn't finish the purpose, let's just say you laid out $100,000 by M, and now the capital has been recouped, and now there's going to be another $100,000 in profits coming in. Why can't you start this?
Okay, in a case like that, you would be able to. The Gemara's case is there's this man, so they're doing business for the next. They took the money from a third party, they have it for another year. So since they're going to constantly be doing business throughout the year, there may be losses in the future. And that's why we need to keep all the capital in to compensate for any future losses. But if it's a one-time deal and we already pulled in our capital, you're right, there's no reason not to pull it out. That's what Dine Torah are all about. You have to figure out who's right. If you have and if you have a suffix, yeah, you're going to have a problem. In the second case, if the market conditions change, it's like this. They bought it for a specific purpose, so under normal circumstances, the investor can't pull out just because he has a cash flow problem in another business. But if the market turned, and now it does not appear like this is not a practical project to be done. The fact that maybe in 10 years something will change is not a tie, and you'd be able to pull out. Normal ISCA, in the absence of anything spoken out, they would split the losses. It would split the losses equally. But the money person would have the right to say this project can't be done profitably at this point. Market changed, and if that's true, he would be able to pull out his money. Now, another interesting case which comes up is what happens if you have a partnership, and it's either for a specific purpose or a specific time, we're within that term. But the partners start fighting. They don't get along any longer. They're not getting along anymore. Is that grounds to dissolve Ishotvus? Now, there have unfortunately been many Dinei Torah about this, not so much about properties. Usually has more to do with a chassidus or a kehillah. That's where the tshuvas are. And just interestingly, most the tshuvas, at least in Aruch Chaim, that discuss about a kehillah breaking up, where you want to split up, where you have people that want to break off a kehillah and start their own kehillah. There, the poskim seem to say that you have no right to do so, even if you get into a fight and you don't get along with someone you want to leave. That's your business, but you don't have the right to dissolve the shotvis. And you have no right to demand a share of the assets that belong to the kehillah. But interestingly, in Chayish Mishpat, there's a chazaynish that is mesupik, but he seems to be noita that if the parties really are not getting along and they can't do, it's just not practical to do business together. So just like if the market conditions change, now it won't work. You have the right to pull out. So if the relationships change and they just can't continue together, Chazanish is mitzadeh. He doesn't say as a achlato, but he's mitzadeh that you'd have the right to pull out. Now, obviously, if it's one partner that forced the other one out and it picked a fight with him to dissolve the partnership, you'll have to deal with it in a din Torah. But at least conceptually, the Chazanish holds once the relationship has deteriorated that they can't go on. That itself is reasons to dissolve the partnership. So that we discussed, if a partner violates one of the Tnoi HaShotvis, so you have a few different options. One option is to hire someone else to do his job and take whatever you have to spend would come off his chelik, because this is money that's being spent to get someone to do his responsibilities. Your other option is to dissolve the partnership, which means you'll have to go to a Din Torah, you have to dissolve the partnership based on the rules that we'll discuss next week, But you have to do something. If you don't do anything and you don't say anything and you just continue, you're going to end up splitting the profits. So if you're in such a situation and you want to put your foot down, it's more kedai to do it sooner rather than waiting till the end. One last halacha is, and this is also comes up. This is could be very nega, and that is even if the partnership is for a limited amount of time or for a specific purpose, if the partners take a loan together, and they're each responsible for the entire amount, the halacha is they have to remain partners until they pay off the loan. And the reason for that is that as long as they're both responsible, they're arevim zeh lazeh, they're both tied together, their mazel is tall, so there, they each have an interest in what the other person's doing, so they have the right to say, I want to remain a shutif, I want to remain in control of what's happening. So kol zman, they're locked in together, they have this loan, they would not be able to back out, even if the partnership technically ended. Of course, if they have a way to pay up the loan, they can do that and then dissolve the partnership. But if they can't, and they still end up being tied together, that itself would be grounds to continue the partnership. Now, next week in Mirat Hashem will be the last week of Hilchos Shutfis. What we're going to discuss next week is the actual chalukah. When the parties decide to part ways, how do you do so? How do you divide the partnership? What do you do if there's a fight over who gets it? And that's the halachos of Goy Agud, which Mirat Hashem will discuss next week.